Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
ShopOmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids, who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. And you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner. Like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max.
Yes, yes. Just me. I'm doing an emergency show today. Bonus episode for you. Typically, we do these shows on our Patreon page. They're super aggressive and they're awful. Things that are almost too awful to air always go on Patreon. We have a Drinking Bros podcast Patreon page. We also have some fun things up there. I mean, I know Giorgio and Fake Dan went live this weekend for UFC. Today, I feel like it's a therapy session. I feel like this is going to be a therapy session and a welcome back from COVID. No one gives a shit about you anymore episode. We've gotten a lot of messages about what is going on now that COVID, the pandemic, has magically disappeared. And the message is usually involved vaccinations or a lot of you small business owners have said, I can't get people to work. I think that's been one of our biggest complaints from people of, look, man, I'm having problems getting people to actually physically want to work again because the government has given so much money to people that they're looking at their jobs now, their old ones that they used to work for, and being like, I think I can sit this one out a few more days. A lot of the services you use on a day-to-day basis for traveling or anything else have gotten worse because people are back to the point of pre-COVID where they no longer care anymore. Just in the last couple weeks, Dan and I have missed a couple episodes back and forth. We've had to Zoom or pre-record or things like that simply because of late flights. In both instances, it was American Airlines on both of those, and we were stuck for maintenance, some type of storm, even though it was 72 and sunny where we were. Things like that. And then when you go to the counter and argue with people or whatever, they don't give a shit because they don't have to. COVID's back to where it was before. And the COVID restrictions are gone and all that other stuff. And people just don't care. Yes, you still have to wear masks on planes and things like that. But it feels like work has gotten lazier, or what you can expect out of companies and people has just gotten fucking lazier. Because everybody's been sitting at home for a year, essentially. Some people aren't going back at all. A lot of the big corporations like Google and Facebook and all this stuff are like, I think we're going to start working from home, kids. So you might want to buckle up, which is also driving up the housing prices. Because now that people are actually working from home, they're like, wait a minute. I don't necessarily want to live in this shitty city I live in anymore. Los Angeles or New York or things like that. So my wife always watches Bravo. There's this $1 million listing thing that I get roped into with Friedrich and the boys. And even in this season that they're going through right now, you can see what they're selling their properties for in New York. And most of them are just getting out because they just don't want to live there anymore. I think over the course of the last year, as we're going through this, a lot of people have decided to do other things as far as how to strategize their life better and planning for the future or what they want for their children. You take guys like us, like Texas was a big one for us where it was like, all right, great. Let's get some land. Let's go back to Texas. Everything will be awesome. You shake somebody, you shake their hands, you look them in the eyes, and you're good to go. You know? Your word is bond, all that other stuff, and you're like, all right, great. I want some land. I want this. And it'll be awesome. The people on that $1 million, a lot of them are heading down south, North Carolina, Florida, things like that.
But once you get there, you have problems getting workers. Now, in Austin, Texas, that has been a massive problem. Not only did you have whatever happened, you know, during the pandemic, but then also the city was exploding on its own. A lot of people were moving here from California. We've all seen the Don't California My Texas shirts and everything like that. And then after the pandemic, people don't really want to go back to work. So they're like, hey, I'm just going to sit this out. It is hard to get people to do certain jobs. Now, for me personally, with the move itself, I've got two kids, and I was worried about the effect of a huge move during a pandemic and what they would have on them when they moved here. One of the things that I did not know about Texas was the heat. Everybody says, man, Texas is really hot. You should get used to that. And I was like, well, I grew up in Georgia. I think I'm fine with that heat. Texas is a little hotter. Last summer when we officially moved here, it was over 106 degrees for 27 straight days, which is a lot. The house that I had purchased didn't have a pool on it. And I said, what do we really need a pool for? I've never been a pool owner before, never had a pool in my life. I was like, is it really necessary? And then, yeah, about 10 days in, when the kids are crying and you can't go outside and it's a million degrees and all they want to do is get in the water. They don't have the pool. We took them to this river a couple times. I don't know what the name of that river is. Is it Perdinales? Am I saying that right?
Perdinales.
Okay, yeah. Perdinales. We took them in that and it was fun. However, it was like bathwater and you had to travel down these mountains or whatever, which I'm all for. I don't really care. But I've got a two-year-old. So the two-year-old is not compliant to that. He's not having any of that bullshit. So the neighborhood we moved into doesn't have a lot of kids, so it's not like there's options to go to somebody's house or anything like that. Also, school kind of really hadn't started, and once it did, they had to wear masks. And the odd thing about it was as parents, all the PTA meetings, all the get-togethers, everything that you would normally do at a normal school, you can't do anymore. They wouldn't let us in. Last week when we finally moved back into our house after the flood and the pipes burst during the winter storm, I was able to take my kid back to preschool as they're open in the summers. And that was the first time I'd actually seen the inside of his school for the very first time. It was also the first time that I'd met people who were teachers without masks. I didn't even know what the teachers looked like. And then same with my other child who just turned 7 years old. I have still not been into his school. Now, obviously, his isn't open till the fall. But I don't know what his friends look like, what his teachers look like, and then the parents as well. Because when you pick your kids up, you have to have masks on outside. So it's all kind of a mystery. Now, with that being said, my wife and I got together, and we try to do like one, you know, decently big purchase a year. Something to usually for the children to improve their lives or whatever it is. I'm not a guy who's going to go out and buy a Lambo by any stretch or any of that shit. We had decided to get a pool put in for the kids so that way when the summer came around this year, and it's 1,000 degrees, which it is today, they can jump in the pool and cool off a little bit. Now, the reason I'm going to rage today is for what happened to me. I almost beat someone to death yesterday. That was the closest I've gotten. This was Saturday, actually. Today's Monday. That was the closest I've gotten as an adult in this life to where I've been in some other fights recently, but those were kind of like, hey, I know I can knock this guy out and then get the fuck out of there, right? No big deal. This guy, though, it's one of those HBO docs where you're like, all right, all the things you see in those shows, I was like, I get it. I can envision doing that to that guy for sure. For sure. Never been more pissed off in my life. We call this company Clear Reflections Pool and Spas. They were recommended to us. And they came over. We started this process in December for them to build a pool for us. And The problem with it was, is it was like, hey, you'll be swimming by March. You'll be swimming by March. You're all good to go. The problem was when those pipes burst and we had the winter storms in February, flooded out the entire first floor. I lost the entire first floor. It was about $218,000 in damage. USAA came in, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, cleaned everything up, crushed it, knocked it out of the park, and I was basically back in my house for 4 months. But because I was traveling back and forth and not really living here in this state, the pool people knew that. So they picked up and left for 3 months. 3 months, they didn't do anything. The general contractors work at my house would be like, hey, were you supposed to have a pool here? Maybe they'll be back in or whatever. We would leave these messages and things like that. Didn't get them. And my God, man, it is now 7 months later. I finally had to fire this company. And we had paid them, fuck, man, $60,000 or whatever the fuck it is at this point. And then the last payment was due when they were finished the pool. It became painfully obvious that the guy was never going to finish the fucking pool. And now, Bob, I'm saying this today because I don't want people to get burned like I did. I don't want them to go to Clear Reflections Pool and Spa at 512-906-9556. I don't want them to call that number, Bob. I definitely don't.
Sounds like it.
No, it's not. And here's why. There is some other Clear Reflections out there around the country. Just know that that's the one in Austin. So that's the one that you should avoid, the 512-906-9556 one. There is no website for it. So maybe that should have been my first thing. However, we talked to a couple other people that were like, yeah, I know a friend of a friend who've used that, but I've never seen or heard any of their work and all that other shit. This conversation is going to lead into something bigger in this world. Again, once the fucking plandemic was over, trying to get people to work is fucking impossible. Including these other people. People get other work from busted systems or whatever, taking advantage of everyone else. I'm sure this is happening to you at home. We keep getting the messages about it. And just know that you're not alone in all of this. And this is going to continue to happen, I think, to a lot of people across the country. Again, and you're seeing these videos on airplanes and things like that where people getting fed up. The Sons in Four video that was circulating of these fights breaking out where the anger is just getting too intense for people and you want to fucking murder somebody. This guy, dude, when he came over to, he was like, well, I'm going to take this heater and something else or whatever. It was like, no, you're not. Dude's name was Jonathan Brown. The gimpiness on this guy was at a level to everything you would expect for in today's society, where it's just, clearly, it was a dude who, was taking over his father's pool company, according to him. Doesn't want to work, probably been coddled by his father his entire life. Fat, overweight, the whole thing, kind of jamming himself in, unkempt, that type of thing. Where he was like the Spalding from Caddyshack. And I had some conversations with the old man, probably about 75 years old. And he had said, look, my son had dropped the ball on this and he's not great in this life with working and whatever. Shook my hand in the backyard and said, I'm going to be on about my day here, but just know that you're going to get your pool done. You're going to gain my trust and honesty and all that other shit back. Right. The problem with this is I don't think kids are raised in a way anymore to appreciate hard work. Appreciate other people's time and everything else that's going on. And why I said this pool conversation is much bigger than what the fuck I'm doing is I think it's just a fucking problem in America with the way kids are being raised. Dan and I talked about this a few weeks ago with my kids. Like, I try to get them in jiu-jitsu. I know Tim Kennedy is opening up a school pretty soon. Just about being more of a man and doing manly things in this world. China even has a goddamn program for it. Because this is what happens. If you don't do this to your child, you don't correct your child, you don't teach them the value of hard work, what it means to get a job done on time or deadlines and everything else, you end up like these people who are kind of running all of these companies and jobs in America right now, and everybody's frustrated, everybody wants to kill these fucking people. It's because of the way they're being raised. Now, with me personally, I'm very cognizant of that. I'm also cognizant of the fact of what I do for a living and could my kids do things that are more comfortable than others? Sure. Same with the Tim Kennedy. Same with Jared or anybody else, where yes, you could do that. You could make sure your kids never have any values at all. But that's not going to help the world. And that's the bigger problem with all of this right now, is I don't think parenting is what it used to be. I think people are afraid to hit their kids. I think people are afraid to talk back to their kids. And when I say hit your kids, I mean spank them, set them down, and tell them what's right and wrong. Try to get them to improve it. Otherwise, you just grow up in life, and you end up like this Jonathan Brown guy. And you don't really value anything or other people's times, and you can lie, kind of pin it on your father still and things like that. And we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of that in today's society. We've got to get rid of this fucking cuck culture that we're in and go back to real hombres being real hombres, because right now, this is the state of the world, and I keep meeting more and more people like this. Now, this guy's appears to be maybe 10 or 15 years younger than me. But you already see the path he's on and where he's headed. And I think that's with a lot of the rest of the world right now, because men aren't fucking taking care of their sons and raising their boys to be men. On the other side of this, I think moms are doing a better job at preparing their daughters for the real world than men are. And I think more and more of these problems are going to start creeping into everyday life and society to where people don't want to work. Again, this is another email that we keep getting all the fucking time. It's about all these people who don't want to work after the pandemic. No, they don't. But it's because of the way they were raised, not necessarily like, oh, I'm fucking lazy. But when you raise kids to be lazy like this, this is what's going to happen. And my biggest fear, and the reason why I wanted to go live today with this, is I feel like this is happening to more and more of our society. And I don't know where it goes past a certain point. Meeting somebody who works hard in everyday life these days has become more and more rare. And I think the only way that we stop it or stop this pattern, unless we want the fucking robots to take over, is for men to start being better fathers to their children. I have taken this on. Where it's like, hey, even with the soccer games, and we joke about me winning the championship and obviously the trophies behind me and all the other stuff. But there was a point where even just, coaching six-year-old soccer, you tell them, hey, there's a winning and losing consequence to this. Here's what you get for winning. Here's what you get for losing. Yes, they're giving out participation trophies. No, you're not getting those. We're going to win today. It's either going to be first or second. There's not going to be some participation trophy in it. And if you want the big trophies, you got to work hard for it. And I told these six-year-olds that at halftime of the championship game. And they won. But I explained to them what they get, what the result is, how you can get ahead, and blah, blah, blah. And even though they were six, they got it. I think you can start early. I think you could start instilling hard work in children earlier. Is it a little more work as a parent? Yes, it is. There's been nights where I've had to race out of here to get to practices or other things. I mean, shit. He wanted to go see the Austin soccer team, that little green scarf that's in the corner of our show. Their opening game is on Saturday. Like, as a dad, it's like, great. You want to go and do that? Let's do that. Let's spend some father-son time together. And let's have personal moments that actually mean something and you can think about later in the future. And when we get to games and we get to do all the fun things that we do, I tell them, hey, the only reason dad gets to do this is because of hard work. Because they'll ask about certain people or players or why you get to go on the field and things like that. And it's like, look, all of this is hard work. You won't get to do any of this shit if you don't work hard. And it's usually followed by questions, but the questions are great. The more questions your children are asking you about the world and about the future and things like that, if you're able to instill what all of this means and everything that you do on a daily basis and why it is important, and why it is important not to miss deadlines and work hard and keep your promises and do the work you're able to do, that's what's going to change the generation that is coming up versus what it is now. And it's weird. It's a weird one, and it's hard to figure out, because right now you're looking at kids on TikTok and you're like, all right, great, they can make a gajillion dollars off that, but it's a handful. It's a small fraction. teaching them things like that really, really help. Tim Kennedy School, I don't know when that opens, but I am all in on that. That guy, man, no matter where you are, and even as an adult, man, shit, Tim will stop and take time to teach with you as an adult where you're like, hey, I don't know about this or this or this. And I'll be like, all right, great. Well, here's why, and here's how you do this and everything else. That's the most important thing heading into the future is sitting down and talking with your kids, other people, and just always teaching and always learning. Everything that I'm going through today, I think with people working or trying to get people to work, we even have a person here that you're just like, God damn it, motherfucker. Do you not want to work? I don't understand.
No, not at all. I don't want to work. I'm never doing anything.
Giorgio pops in and said, I'm never doing anything. You're always here. Look, you guys are always here. It's great. But, you know, there's others who are not,
it's
Giorgio.
Being a drug addict, Ross.
So you're saying you need everybody to be a drug addict to want to pay for shit because drugs are expensive. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Gotcha. Whatever it is, whatever your motivation is in this life, help them figure out what it is and get them to do things because... Again, everywhere we keep going now that this is over, and I think that it's over, the less and less we see of Fauci on TV, the more convinced I think all of this is over. We have to remember what hard work is and go back to that point before the pandemic and everything else. The crazy thing is, I don't know if you guys have gotten this, but I've gotten this in the mail of like, hey, we're going to send you $600 a child for a month for the rest of the year.
I think it's $300 a month.
$300 a month? Okay, so
So you're getting $600 because you have two kids.
I have two kids. I don't even know how I qualify for...
I'm actually surprised because you shouldn't. Like
that. I don't think that... I probably don't.
I do, barely.
Yeah, I probably don't, but I got the letter of this might be going out from the Biden administration and things like
it
that.
It is the Biden child tax credit or whatever, but it's $300 a month per kid if you're making, as a family, under $150. And if I forget what the individual are, but then it's prorated after 150, and then there's another ceiling where it's like you just don't qualify anymore.
Yeah. So look, there's money coming, and people know it, and I don't think that really helps. So the families that actually need it, that need the help, yes, I 100% agree. And if you're having trouble getting a job or having trouble going back to work, I 100% agree that you should be getting these payments. I don't know if I'm getting them or not, but the fact that showed up in the mail, I was like, well. Shit, if that's going through the end of the year, that's going to give people even more excuse not to work or maybe bust out another kid. Bob, your kid is doing what, September?
September 4th. Bob. I'm really hoping they give us a full year's worth of baby credit, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any taxes getting taken out of this paycheck right now. So.
Well, we're going to have to go to that next year, Bob. I just got off the phone with the tax guy.
That's fucking fine with me. Because okay. I'm doing the math the other day, and I was like, dude, it's going to be a lot of money.
Yeah. Look, everybody's going through tax time because ours got pushed until June 17th before I was on the call with our CPAs for all this other shit. But it was the same thing with him. Like, he was a little late, and I was like, why are you late? And he goes, well, I'm having problems to get people to come back in to work. And I'm like, that is everyone's problem right now.
You try to get an Uber.
Oh, dude, exactly. Trying to get an Uber. Our Uber in Florida, and we were, I think, 8 miles away from the venue, was $132. Nobody wants to do that job anymore.
Well, because they jacked up their prices and they don't pay their employees more. It's just going more to Uber. So.
Correct. And the Uber drivers had said the same thing in the car. They were like, look, we're not seeing any of this. And what's the incentive to drive an Uber? What's the incentive to drive a Lyft? What's the incentive for anybody anymore? And I would get used to the fact that people probably aren't going back to work. Looking at it from a business standpoint, having owned a business like this, a couple in my life, this is my third small business that I've owned, is shit, man. HR, those problems are gone. You don't have to deal with that anymore. You don't have to deal with sexual harassment, lawsuits. Workers' comp is an interesting one, too. If you get hurt, trip over your dog at your house and you're on a Zoom call, that's your fault. That is not your employer's fault. I don't know what the incentive is to come back to work if you're at a big company. I know a lot of these conferences have been getting canceled, and you know that they used to go to in Vegas and everything else,
which is obviously going to hurt their tourism. But I don't know what that incentive is going to look like. But it's also going to give you more time at home with your children to kind of figure all of this stuff out. And they're going to have a lot more questions for you. And it's how do you raise them to get out of the laziness of this or this hazy fucking pandemic fog that we're all living underneath. We haven't changed. I mean, shit, I don't think we've missed a day ever, including when I lost electricity that night. I was able to go off of just four batteries in the microphone and then use my phone as my hotspot to upload an episode. We haven't missed here. But again, the reason I'm bringing all of this up is, you know, as people start to come back and as that fucking lazy mentality sets in because they weren't used to working for so long, there's going to be a lot of fights, a lot of arguments, and you're going to have a lot of frustration trying to get these fucking people back. And yesterday, man, shit, that guy, that fucking Jonathan Brown guy and his bullshit dad, Mike Brown, who did this fucking, or were supposed to do this goddamn pool, it got to the point where I said, look, I'm gonna leave a checkbook right here. I'm gonna leave you a blank check if you fight me. Because you're in Texas, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to say, if two men agree to a fight, congratulations, you guys are good to go, and you shake it off like men. I said, look, I'm gonna leave a blank check right here. If you beat me, you can write a check for whatever the fuck it is you want. I don't give a shit whatsoever. And he was not cool with that. Not cool with that at all. Walked off and then called the police. So the police came to my house on Saturday, which was a fun thing. I have not met them up in Hays County, and I got to chat with them. And, you know, you have lawyers and contracts and all that other bullshit. And I just said, look, man, the guy clearly didn't want to fight. And if he wants to take this to some form of arbitration, or I'll just file a fucking lawsuit, that'll probably be the easiest course of action. But it's like, man, even that I hate doing anymore. And I hate all these fucking litigious pussies who get into this shit. I try to avoid it at all costs. I'd rather just fight somebody and go back to the olden times. But we are so far fucking past that as a society. And more importantly, I think fucking 90 to 95% of most men are out of that. Like, they don't do that shit anymore. And it's just a fucking nation of pussies. It's the pussification of society of guys like this, Mike and his fucking son, Jonathan. He obviously didn't teach him any fucking values about hard work or dedication or anything in this world. And this is what we're stuck with. And I feel like this is what we're going to be stuck with in every fucking job going forward into the future. And I hate it. I hate it so much, but every man has a breaking point in this life. And just know, when shit like this happens, we're seeing more and more of these viral videos of people fucking freaking out in public or freaking out on planes. Or the Suns in Four was my favorite that trended over the weekend when homeboy just fucking ripped a jersey over the other guy's head, beat the shit out of both him and his buddy, who had started the fight. The other guys had started the fight, and then he had the wherewithal to say Suns in Four. Suns did win in four. You're seeing fights on airplanes and things like that. I just think people have been cooped up. They're getting out of this. Everybody's so lazy that they're so angry about everything that's going on that they just want to fight. And I feel like you're going to start to see more and more videos like that. Now, how can that all be prevented? Remember who you were before all this bullshit started. If you can. You know, watching the media every day or watching the news and watching everything that's going on is the media side of it, because they got to keep selling you this fear and everything else to keep those fucking machines going and pay for, you know, all their clicks and everything else. It's probably going to be more prevalent and shoved in your face every day. But behind the scenes, man, I think people are just fed up in general with everything that's going on, everything that's happened over the last year and a half. People who've lost their businesses too, and now they need simple tasks done and things like that, when they're like, motherfucker, I was genuinely working hard and my business got shut down because of the pandemic. You're actually fucking working and getting paid and charging higher rates than you used to, and you're not doing shit for me. You're not doing fucking shit. And I think you're going to see a lot more people snap in this world. I really do. because I think people are fed up with it. And again, how do we change it? We have to remember who we are before all of this started. But I don't know that we get back there. Every single job, dude, is just trying to, man, they're just trying to say how just what's the least bit of work we could possibly do here? What is it? What's the least bit of work we could actually possibly do to get in? They don't care about doing a good job anymore. No one gives a shit about that anymore. At least in my opinion, there's very few people that I look, and I've come on this show and praised the shit out of people. USAA, Jesus Christ, man. Again, not a sponsor on this show. And I know I talked about them last week. I'll talk about them again. All of their shit was in order. And I was so shocked that that's why I keep talking about it, where I'm like, fuck, dude, somebody actually did a great job. A company was actually great at what they do, and people actually kept their word and said that they were going to do what they actually did in this world. Holy shit, that's fucking rare. It's extremely rare. And we've set up this Drinking Bros Justice page. So we're going to start calling out more companies and things like that, because we want you guys to write in, because I think that's the only way we're going to get any of this to change is if you start calling out companies like this fucking Clear Reflections in Austin. I want to be clear. It's the one in Austin. I know there's some in other states and shit like that. It is the one in Austin. But what is the Drinking Bros Justice page? I know we just launched it a few weeks ago, and Dan did. Is it drinkingbros.com/justice? Yeah, pull that up real quick. And it's just a submission form of what you're going through.
Yeah, you got it right.
Yeah, it is.
I'm pulling it up. But yep. Yeah. drinkingbros.com/justice. Can I have the keyboard?
Mm-hmm. And put the website on the screen. Because we want you guys to be able to write in and tell us your experiences and everything else that's going on. Other companies, other shit, because I feel like we're all a community and we want to help you guys avoid shit like this. And I also think it's the only way, if you hold people accountable, that people are actually going to do the job they say on time and come back to help you. Because again, this is a community. Drinking Bros itself has always been a community. We've always tried to help each other out. We would always rather hire Drinking Bros. I tried to initially, but there wasn't anybody in the pool industry and Drinking Bros. But if you are, know that it is booming down here. And if you're in any form of manual labor or skilled labor or things like that, shit, come on down here. They're trying to build so many goddamn houses and everything else. There it is. Boom. drinkingbros.com/justice. And what you do is you tell us your story. You write your name in. You write your email. You write what you're going through in the subject line. And we'll talk about it. Also, conversely, if there is people that you want to praise, if there is businesses that have helped you out during times of need and everything else, now that you can go to drinkingbros.com and then just submit them as the Drinking Bro of the Week. And we'll try to shout out some of these small businesses going forward to help them. Because there's so many shitty companies out there right now that if you can get a leg up on somebody that is just like, all right, great. Some friends of mine or some people I trust or have gone through some really fucked up shit with these companies. Who's somebody on the show that at least somebody else went through? GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros does this all the time. I know they're our title sponsor, but when we sat down with them initially 3 years ago and we just signed on for two more years of a title sponsorship with these guys, we sat down with them and they were like, look, we cater to military and first responder. That has been one of our biggest priorities in our company. How can we help? How can we be more trustworthy or more transparent and everything else? And Dan and I had sat down with them and we said, you know, I think if all the reviews off of that page where we're sending people were actually Drinking Bro listeners and Drinking Bros customers, I think that would really help that way. Everybody in this community that we've all created can go there and be like, all right, great. All of these reviews, and they've got a fuck ton on their website, are all from listeners themselves. Some of you guys are in the chats every single day, and you know each other, so you'll know your usernames and handles and all that other shit, and you can help each other out. Also, you know, being able to go out in this community And say, hey, I need X in whatever city I live in. We have pages for that on Facebook. So Drinking Bros, the main page is taken down. Now, we've beaten that by relaunching it. It is under m.a.i.n. We originally had 110,000 people on that private page behind the scenes. That page was the only one that got taken down in Drinking Bros Singles, for obvious reasons. Wink. You guys got a little too graphic in there. But the subgroups are all still up. So if you go into any state, and a lot of these states are huge, so they're separated by city or east and west or north and south, depending upon where you live. Like Texas, for example. I know there's a North Texas subgroup on there. You can go in and say, hey, guys, I need this job done. Do you know anybody who does this? And you know, can they do it? It's on X. And everybody will be honest with you, and you can get the best work possible, because this is a community, and this is where everybody can go and help each other out. Sign up for all those subgroups in your state, and if you need jobs, or conversely, you need to you're looking for a job or whatever, there's also a Drinking Bros jobs page on there. And I think the more and more we can hire within from our own community and our own listeners and things like that, the more trustworthy and transparent all of this will be. And plus, look, it gives our own listeners a job and an opportunity to help each other out. And then truthfully, most people end up being friends afterwards and hanging out. Kaylin Catherine says, I will chip in for a crappy above ground pool that will really bring the trailer park vibe to Austin. The pool is hollowed out. It's fine. And these are fucking champagne problems to have, I guess, that the fact that I'm able to afford a fucking pool in the first place. Yes. However, it's still, you work hard, you spend your money, and you want to be able to provide for your family and do something cool. And then it just sucks where you're like, dude, no matter who you are or what you do, somebody's still going to try to fuck you over. Now, do I think Joe Rogan probably has these problems? No. No. Although he did change studios, so maybe he did, Bob. You know? He got rid of the alien body studio.
I think people just hated the fucking first studio. Even I, and I'm not like a Rogan diehard or anything like that. I only watch clips.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw that, I was like, what the fuck? Like, this makes me not want to watch even any of this.
I don't know why I did it. You know, who knows? Maybe that's all you could get to build.
He had a fever dream in a sauna. And that's how.
He did, man. Poor Joe. People are going after him right now. The New York Times has been hitting up a lot of podcasts, and they're trying to do a hit piece on him. That is real, by the way. Me personally, I don't think he has any skeletons or anything like that. It's just they're trying to say that he's toxic and bad for today's culture and society and men in general. No, he's not. We're obviously huge fans here, and we're friends with this producer, Jamie, in real life. And it's like, man, no, he's not. You're just trying to create a non-cuck society with all these fucking people like the Jonathan Browns of the world. But it's hard. And it's getting harder and harder every day because everybody wants to fucking cancel you too when you come out and call people out. Or if you want to just fight somebody in your own backyard, just men on men. People end up calling the cops or whatever the fuck it is. It is hard to get rid of that fucking cuckishness in the world right now. So, dude, I hope anybody who got called for that Joe Rogan piece didn't fucking respond. I know we didn't. And then somebody flew a banner over Los Angeles over the weekend. Did you hear about that, Bob?
I did not, no.
It just said Joe Rogan is literally 5'3". Like, I don't know. And I know how much that banner costs to fly over the beach. Like, that is not cheap. Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on.
To be fair, every famous person is 5'3".
Yes. Yes. I'm not that fucking famous. Let's be honest.
They reported $15,000 is what I read for that skywriting.
$15,000?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You should have known. If you wanted to be an astronaut or an actor. Wasn't in the cards for you, Ross.
No, I didn't know it was going to be this tall. I grew in college too, though. So shit, it was like a David Robinson vibe. Only I wasn't 6'11", but 6'4" or whatever. Very, very, very close to it. But all of those things that he's saying that they're trying to cancel him for, and I think I'm almost positive this is the vibe I'm getting from this article. is that they're saying he has too much power, and the things that he's questioning with the vaccinations and being a man in this world, and how we're heading to the soy boy territory, is what they're trying to lump into the toxic masculinity category for Rogan and a lot of podcasts in general. But look, we don't subscribe to that bullshit. And I certainly agree with everything Rogan's saying and everybody else is on that show. Whether or not you want to actually change your life and do something about it is up to you. Because you could go through and sail through on money from the government and mom or dad's fucking coattails and all that other shit. And I guess you'd be fine. It depends on the person, though. I did that interview with Tim Grover a couple weeks ago where I think you can instill it in your children. That is my guess. Have you and your wife talked about this? Because you have a child coming up.
A little bit. I mean, it's mostly
It's an uncomfortable, that's why I ask. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have because you don't really know what you agree on until you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're pretty simpatico on most things like that. I mean, we're definitely like, neither of us are we're both very politically like down the middle and everything. So we see like obnoxious, like we have like a hippie neighbors across the street. Mm-hmm. So here's a good example. We have these neighbors across the street. Now they're nice. I like them. The guy was cool the other day when my dog ran across the street to go fucking bark at his dog. Like he could have been a fucking asshole about it.
Sure.
You know, like get away from my dog. Like that's happened, but he was cool about that. So I don't really like shit on him, but like their kids, they have like two or three kids and they watch other kids mm-hmm. during the day, and I used to work from home and our office window faces the street, so I would see this every day. About like 2 o'clock, all the kids would just run outside basically naked,
sure,
underwear,
yeah,
screaming, unattended, running in other people's yards, just like a fucking nightmare. And I feel like that is a precursor to what you're talking about.
It is, yes. And because I see it as a parent, because we hang out when you have kids, you start to drift toward more friends who have children so you guys can do things together or go to restaurants right. or whatever and try to soothe the pain of whatever the fuck they're going to do to terrorize the place, right?
Yeah.
And keep them under control and also try to teach them manners. But even that's hard because of the parenting styles. Like, I've run into this gentle parenting, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, oh, my God, what the fuck is that? I've met like 4 or 5 couples who are doing this gentle parenting where they let the kid decide when he's calmed down. They don't spank him. They don't tell him no. And they're going to let him figure it out. Well, guess what? The children didn't figure it the fuck out in their nightmares.
Right. Yeah. So that we both saw that regularly. And we were just like, the fucking never. Never.
Yes.
Like, this is terrible. Like, we're never going to let our kids be fucking weird or crazy like that. Like, our kids are going to have manners and not just be fucking psychos and weirdos. And like, because those are like the type of hippie children that do grow up to be kind of like what you're describing, essentially.
I want to do this kayak company, Dad. Can you pay for it? And then I don't really have a plan to do kayaking, or I don't know how to kayak and everything else.
I have a buddy who has a 5-year-old now. I'm actually the godfather mm-hmm. of that kid. He doesn't do like gentle parenting or whatever, but he's also never like spanked his kid or anything. He does this thing. I was with him at the St. Louis Zoo once, and his kid threw a fit over wanting, you know, some overpriced toy
sure.
at the zoo.
Sure.
And he was just like, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And he kind of threw a little bit of a fit, and he did let him wear himself out. And then his first words to him afterwards were like, look how stupid you looked. Like, he wasn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't going to hit him or anything, but he was just like, look, you made a fool of yourself. Everyone's embarrassed by you. I don't know if that counts as, like, gentle parenting or if it's somewhere in the middle, but I enjoyed that.
So do I, and I enjoy things like that. Like, for example, I was at a restaurant yesterday. 2-year-old was going ballistic, and I said, look, man, we're going home if you don't figure it out here. You know, it was like a Jenga game at somebody, you know, like an adult. Like,
right.
He's a huge human. He's like a baby Gronkowski. He's gonna be Rob Gronkowski. I'm not going to shy away from it. Is he going to be the smartest? Probably not. But he is an enormous child who doesn't fit in the back of the goddamn car. And with that, he picked up a fucking Jenga block and threw it across the restaurant toward another adult.
Right.
It's a great throw. However, I'm not allowed to praise him on that. I'm like, look, you cannot do that again. You know, get a spank on the bottom or whatever. And we were like, we're going to go home if you continue this. Chucked another one. Dude, check, please. Get him the fuck out of there and do it. If you don't actually follow through with parenting, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
You know? And that's the hardest part. And because you can see what happens to people when they grow up and you're like, oh, I bet your fucking parents never said shit to you.
Yeah. When I was talking to my wife last night, we went to the store and grabbed some shit. And she was like, do you want to get some cereal? I can make like a Rice Krispie treat situation. Mm-hmm. But we like to do it with like different cereals, like Lucky Charms. And I was like, aren't you so excited to one day like take the kids to the store and be like, pick out a cereal for mom to make? And then immediately I was like, and what's going to happen is there's going to be like two of them and they're going to get in a fucking fight with each other about what to get. And I told her, I was like, you know what my solution's going to be? If they do that, I'm just going to pick out the cereal. I'm going to be like, all right, that's it. You guys don't get dessert. Then I'm going to pick out the cereal. And they'll be like, I thought you said we don't get cereal bars or whatever. Be like, no, you don't. I just picked the one that I want. And now me and mom are going to eat it and you can watch us.
Yeah. And that's what you have to do. So hopefully, look, I know our listeners are different, though, than everybody else. Same with Rogan's, too, where it's just like, dude, I think the reason why you listen to a show like this or Rogan or someone else is because we do all have the same values and we appreciate the same things in this world. At least that's my hope. I've met so many listeners from this show all over the country, and like we all seem to be similar. So I think that's why, I don't know, we keep coming back every day for this stuff. And Brandon Busby saying the past weekend was a sad and lonely one. RIP Dakota Sky, the porn star. Yes, Brandon, it was. And we have a full episode coming out here in, about an hour? About an hour on this channel this afternoon?
Yes.
Yeah, with Jonathan Kite and Paul Verzi. Paul's got a show with Bill Burr. Jonathan Kite's obviously from Two Broke Girls, and he's on that hit show on Netflix with Jamie Foxx right now. Some say we chatted a little too long about the porn star, but I don't.
I'd call it a solid 25.
Was it really?
It was. I'll have to go look at the notes again, but it was a healthy chunk of the show.
You were running the screens here. What you can't see at home, if you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel here, is behind the scenes. Sometimes Rob will just leave up graphic images on the screens that we have to look into. Oh, is that you?
Yeah.
Man. I don't know that I needed to see that full blowjob scene, because it just kept going on. Paul was so shocked. I don't know if he's coming back.
I mean, really, it's
anymore.
A team effort with me and Rob.
Yeah. Obviously. But, yeah, we did a full tribute to that wonderful young lady. And
apparently
he
doesn't really know a whole lot of celebrity dick sizes.
No, which is shocking to me.
Yeah, like, how do you not?
I don't know. And again, you should teach your kid that in this world of like, all right, son, that's what if they said, well, wow, that's a huge penis, you say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I remember as a kid standing in a urinal at a Falcons game, and it was like, back in the day, the Falcons were, well, they're just as terrible as they are now, but we were in a shittier stadium, just a really shitty stadium. Dad takes me into the urinal. You're lined up in this like horse trough shit. It's not like today where it's like, oh, everybody's got their own urinal, fucking divider walls and everything else. Nope. It was just a fucking huge trough. And I remember this fucking redneck deep in the heart of Georgia rolling in there, just pulling out a fucking hog, dude. Just blah, 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 blah. And I looked and he caught me staring at his penis. And we locked eyes. I think I was 7 or 8 years old. We locked eyes. And he goes, man, there's nothing but $4.75 going down this drain, which was how much a beer cost at that time. Obviously, that is double now. I didn't understand what it meant. And he goes, oh, I'm staring at my huge penis. And I was like, yes, I was. And I remember asking my dad afterwards, I was like, are some penises like that? And he goes, yes, son, there's going to be some huge penises in this life. And he goes, typically, it's not going to come from a white guy like that, but there's going to be some huge penises in this life. That stuck with me forever, and he was right. So, RIP, but you were right. You were right. But that show is coming up this afternoon. Sports today, we've got the sports recap show coming on. You guys were actually at UFC 263. Mm-hmm. That Nate Diaz fight was an absolute fucking war.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that on the show. The other one was, obviously, you know, we have 15 different shows on this network. Right now we got a new one, Aaron, on Friday actually with Mike the Cop and Eric Tanzi. That will be running off of Mike the Cop's YouTube channel. He's got a gajillion subscribers, and this way it definitely won't get demonetized on there for having crazy guests and all that stuff. We were trying to put a show together forever, especially during the last, what's going on during the last 3 or 4 years with cops, of just a lot of misinformation out there, people talking shit against the police and everything else. And I was like, man, all these crazy stories that we see week after week, I want to know what actual cops have to say about this. So Mike was on the police force, I think, for 11 years. Tanzi, I think, for what? How long was Tanzi on there? 13 or 14, maybe? I never know how old Eric Tanzi is, by the way. He reminds me of Chris Penn, where it's just like he could be eternally 38 to 42 years old, or he could be 28. I have no idea. But either way, they're going to be providing you guys with insights on what actually happens during all these trials and what's happening with police in America. And we wanted to have that. That was very, very important for us this year to make sure that there was a cop show so that not only cops could stand up for other cops, obviously, but mainstream people can go there and say, all right, I heard this thing in this one trial. Is this true? Or I saw this shooting, or I saw this body cam footage. Is this true? And that show will be starting Friday on Mike the Cop's channel on YouTube, and we're amped about that. And then with Icebreakers tonight, we did the Aaron Carter show and the Lamar Odom show last week for their fight on Friday night, which I paid for. That'll be talking about on the sports recap today, because that was an absolute disaster.
Yes. It was everything you thought it would be.
It was everything you thought it would be.
It was immoral.
That's a big word.
That's what I think of that fight. It was, I'm going to say it again today. It was immoral.
That's a big, big statement right there. It was bad. It was bad. Chuck Liddell was actually the referee for it. We'll chat with him later on the week about his experience on that. But I actually bet on Aaron Carter. Luckily, my bookie.com promo code Drinking Bros will double your deposit. Only let me put, I think, $25 down on that fight because they figured it was going to be fixed. Turns out it was definitely not fixed. And, God, Lamar Odom beat the shit out of that kid. With gloves that were comically big, where you're like, that wouldn't hurt anybody. You can't knock anybody down with that. We'll get into the glove size and all that other shit later. But with Icebreakers tonight, we'll be Aaron Drinking Bros a little bit earlier today because they have Matthew McConaughey on tonight. So that'll be on this channel. That will be another big episode. And I know they get into whether or not he's going to run for governor. That'll be on this channel as well. Tonight, somebody's saying here in the chat that Rogan's got starting to have too much influence and too much power. Yes, if you look at the numbers, and this is the last time that I saw them, or they had gotten leaked, and truthfully, they'd only gotten leaked, I think, because we share some of the same sponsors, and a sponsor accidentally sent me one of his invoice. I think he's getting 90 million downloads a month, and I think Joe Rogan himself is bigger than all of CNN. And because the downloads were just audio only. I don't even know numbers wise what he was doing off of videos and all that other stuff. Now that he's moved over to Spotify, I don't think you can see those numbers anymore. But his clips channel is still on YouTube, and he's getting millions and millions of views. And yes, he's eclipsing most cable networks. And I expect most of them to fold, to be honest with you, because everybody's headed over to podcast. Even that fucking dude, Jonathan Brown, that fucking cuck. Where he was like, oh, what's a podcast? And I was like, well, that's 10.3 million listeners or whatever. 2.1 are in the state of Texas alone. So it's like one out of every 15 people in Texas listens to the goddamn show. And he was like, well, I thought it was a radio show. And I was like, man, radio is fucking dead, my man. I don't even know I don't even know if I fucking know how to turn on the radio in my car, actually. Dead serious. I know the newer versions of the car is like Sirius XM and shit like that. But when's the last time you used old school radio, Bob? Can you even name it? Can you even name one DJ in the city of Austin?
Gossip Greg.
Gossip Greg. Huh?
He's like a guy. He comes on and it's just like talks about news.
Is he still doing it?
Yeah, I listen to the radio most days, actually, on the way to work and home from work. And stuff
you're
like
kidding.
That. What?
Yeah. Ah, look at your co-host is even freaking out. I know. Like, what?
I'm too lazy to hook up my phone or sync my phone or anything like that. So I just put on the radio. If I'm on like a long drive, I'm going to Houston or something.
Sure.
Like, obviously, I'm putting on a podcast or like a playlist from Apple Music or Spotify or whatever. But yeah. A fucking 10-minute drive to work? Like, no, I'm not going to get in the car, sync my phone, and do it. Like, I'll just put on the radio.
It's not Bluetooth. Everybody's got Bluetooth. Yeah, it just hooks right up. That's hilarious. You're the one guy.
Yeah.
You're that guy.
Yep.
I don't know anyone else who actually uses old school radio.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about it when I got in that fight with that fucking dickhead. I was trying to think. I was like, when's the last time I listened to the radio? I think it was Seacrest, Ryan Seacrest. And I think it was because he was my local DJ in Georgia. Before he moved on. I know he's syndicated and he's on like Sirius XM and all this other shit right now, but man, I don't listen to any of it. I know people had hit us up too for ads on local radio and the ad rates were so shocking that I was like, hey, man, then how much are the DJs making a day? And they're like 35 to 40 grand a year, local radio DJs. And I was like, Jesus Christ, how do you afford to keep a family going? We're just doing that anymore. Wild. But all of that stuff is, look, it's going to be gone here if it isn't already. I know all my favorite, you know, channels, like when I was like a kid in L.A., when I just moved out of college there, like K-Rock and all that other shit, like all their morning teams and everybody else is gone. Everybody got fired. Everybody's getting thrown under the fucking bus for podcasts and everything else. And now that the Apple car is coming, Bob, you're going to be living inside your phone and all your things are going to be apps. There's nothing you can do about it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. That doesn't bother me.
That's the next realm. Giorgio's going to be the first one to get that Apple car, though. I guarantee it.
100%.
100%. Like, that's all you.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. You'll do that in 10 seconds.
Already did it.
Yeah. Over. Already did it. Let me ask you this. Are you waiting for the phone? Are you waiting for the new phone, too?
The new Apple phone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have to wait. I have the newest one until there is a newer one.
Right.
And then I have that one.
When that new one comes out in September, are you getting that one?
We'll have it, yes.
Okay.
I even thought about getting the purple in the meantime. The limited release, like mid-cycle, I was like, you know what? I could go for a purple for 6 months. You know, why not? Why not? Flex on them. Prince did it.
Yeah, my wife broke her phone, and she had to go in, and she was like, should I just wait? And I goes, your phone work? And she goes, no, it doesn't. And I was like, well, then obviously you're not going to be able to wait.
No,
it's what, three, it's 3 months away. Whereas mine, this piece of shit, I had to, you know, jerry rig with some dude and some foreign battery in it. You know,
once the purple, the purple's
I'm
nice.
I'm not going to do that. She has it. She's got the new phone. The newest, I'm going to wait until that other one comes out just because I don't want to get fucked by whatever 90th camera they add to the back of this fucking thing.
You'll not get it for 2 weeks or there'll be like a limited shortage. 2 months will have passed by, and you'll go, just going to wait till next year.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn it, man. God damn it. I'm not. Fuck Apple, dude. Jesus Christ. I could go on a fuck. You want to talk about not working? They're the masters of, like, slow-rolling work in this world where it's just like, hey, all those cool things that you wanted to do and all that other shit, we're going to slow-roll that out to you and then tell you we're out of it or China's controlled. Buy it or something fucked up is going to happen.
You love this, though? They just released Universal Control, which means you can use your mouse and keyboard on your laptop and your home computer and your tablet if they're all within location of each other independently, and it's really nice.
No, I don't need it.
It's for the people on the go who want to move from one device to the other. It just really syncs up your life. You know, I woke up this morning, and it was like, Siri was like, you have Drinking Bros appointment at 2 p.m. today with special guest. And, you know, it's pretty
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll never use it, so it doesn't really matter anyways, you know? Fuck. But if you are out there, you know, shit. Let's say you're moving or you're in the middle of a move or contemplating one or you're going to another city for whatever's happened to you or you're just buying a bigger house. People are asking about the housing market and whether or not that's going to go down. I don't think so anytime soon, only because... I obviously give it time, but I think you're looking at 2 to 3 years. Whereas last year around this time, I said, I thought a crash was coming this year. I think most of the people now are overpaying because they have to work from home and they want the shit that they want. And you're trying to put in all the accessories you possibly can so that you're comfortable to work and live out of your house with your
family. It's not sustainable.
I agree. I 100% agree. It's not sustainable. And with this laziness factor that is going on with people coming back, I don't know how you keep companies alive after that. Because even with Homeboy and this fucking company, this Clear Reflections fucking company in Austin, like, dude, just somebody like me or anybody else just going on their podcast or social media just saying what a shitty company this is, like, great. I don't know how those motherfuckers are going to stay in business. I don't know how most of these fucking people are going to stay in business who do shit work. There's going to be other people that really, really flourish during all of this. I mean, shit, full disclosure, man, we did pretty well last year. Sitting with the CPA this morning going through last year, but like, dude, everybody was out of content. Hollywood had shut down. We worked the craziest hours we've ever worked last year because we went every single day live on all of the shows. And I mean, we were filling up, fuck, we had I was doing three or four shows back to back every single day. The streets were empty and it was wild. And you just kind of went back and went home after that. That woke up and did it again. But, dude, I wasn't afraid to be like, shit, you want to pay more money and do more shit? Let's do it. Let's fucking go, dude. Let's work. I will always fucking work. Probably to a point that my wife hates. And I'll admit that, too. But I think those days for most people are sadly over. So as we're coming out of this, good luck with everything. Vet these companies. Or at least try to go through the Drinking Bros system itself and look for Drinking Bros themselves, because all of us are pretty like-minded. And I don't think I've ever been fucked over by a Drinking Bro, and I would rather give my money to Drinking Bros. And we always pay for shit, too. Always know that, dude. We always, Drinking Bros always pay for things. Like, even fucking Dan and I, we don't let anyone work for free ever on any of this shit we ever do. Like, we always pay for it because we want you guys to make a great living as well. And again, if you guys are going through some problems like what we went through today, go to drinkingbros.com/justice. Tell us who the companies are. Tell them your experience. Tell us your experience with it. And then we'll try to read these off on air. And then conversely, if there is great companies out there who have helped you guys out, shit, man, shout them out. I know over the last few weeks and months, actually, we've had companies on that we believe in or have been helpful, or just presidents of companies that we're fans of, to try to provide you with some insight as to how to run a successful business, what it really takes and the hard work that goes into it, because it is important. And we do feel that most companies are slipping in that realm. And it's like, all right, great. How did this, even the Liquid IV guy, I forget his name. He was the president and he was on the show, but it was like, how did you make that much fucking money and how did you get this rich? And he was honest. You know, I lived in a fucking 800 square foot apartment for 8 years or whatever the fuck it was until he was able to sell his company. You know, shit, even during the winter storms here, when I needed help, I went out to the listeners. Mike Boscovich, I know I've mentioned that guy's name a ton of times, like from Michigan. I didn't know him. He came down, flew him down, stayed in my house, fixed all my shit, paid him exactly what his rate was, and paid for his flights and all that other stuff. That's what we do, and that's what we do in this community. And as we come out of this fog and this pandemic, and as it is lifted, you guys are going to have problems hiring companies. Hire within the Drinking Bros community. And again, every single state has a private page on Facebook. We hate Mark Zuckerberg as much as you do. Some of your shit will get pulled. We've nothing we can do about that. If you post something aggressive, or if they believe it to not be true, don't even bother posting anything from Hunter Biden or anything like that, because you're definitely, it's going to get pulled. But go into these groups, find businesses from other listeners and things like that, and help each other. Also, I genuinely think that's the best work you're going to get out of people in this world, because we all know each other. I feel like, at least. I know with, you know, 10 million listeners and all that shit, it doesn't seem like it. However, when you're in these groups, and we've done so many meet and greets, I feel like we've, over the years now, this is our sixth or seventh year of being on the air, I feel like we've either met all of you, have somewhere gotten drunk or taken a photo or done something, or worked together on jobs and things like that. So go within the community if you're having problems with things. I wish I would have done it on this. I actually did, but nobody did this job. for this fucking pool thing. But I think it'll help you come out of this and get the best work possible that you need. You know, cars, houses, anything. Just, even if you're looking for employees that actually genuinely want to work, hire within. And then hopefully our message, or people like Rogan and everybody else, about getting rid of this fucking cuck culture, hopefully it'll sink in, but I don't fucking know, man. The Jonathan Browns of the world are always going to be out there, and there's nothing you can fucking do about that in this world. But I'll keep you posted on it. We'll see what happens. Always, as always, we get another sweet chat with a lawyer after this phone call is over. And to that point, again, this is a fucking emergency late-breaking episode. My drinking bro of the week is actually you guys, the listeners, and everybody who has helped somebody out on one of these pages behind the scenes. I know we had a bunch of nooners in here. If you're in Austin and you want to see the show and stop in and meet us, we always bring people on the show as drinking bros of the week. And you can share your own experiences about other people who have helped you out in this world. And we're always here. Just hit us up in the DMs. You know, usually somebody will answer. And if you're in town, yeah, stop by. I remember Julia. Julia was in town last week. We were doing a wild ass show. I had my pants off. We even got her on Papa Bear's lap. My wife was here, so it was fine. We got a sweet pic that's floating around the internet, and they're like, "Is that real?" Yes, yes, it was real. And if you're in town, feel free to stop by the studio. Again, if you've been helped out by another Drinking Bro or something else, submit to Drinking Bro of the Week on drinkingbros.com. My rant is over today. I'd reached my breaking point over the weekend toward another human being to the point where I offered a blank check to fight me. That's where we're at in today's world. You can do shit like that, but just check your local laws on that one. Texas is definitely a state you can say some shit like that. I know Alabama's one. I forget the others, but they're out there. In the meantime, stay tuned. Jonathan Kites and Paul Verzi will be up next on this channel. And then later on the afternoon, as always, we will do the Monday morning recap show on Drinking Bros Sports, which is a separate RSS feed and a separate video channel on YouTube. So swap on over there. And what? What do you think? Hour or so? Oh, shit, we have another interview before that. Yeah, probably looking at the 4 o'clock rage. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock rage. No. The Monday morning recap show. Now, you think we're good? 3:30? All right, 3:30 Central. 3:30 Central will be over there.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. No, it's not going to be 5 o'clock. I hope not. I hope not. And then tonight, again, very, very special icebreakers on Drinking Bros Podcast YouTube channel with Matthew McConaughey. As always, dude, that guy gave one of the most money interviews of all time. You want to talk about walking the talk, dude. Matthew McConaughey is one of those dudes, and he's always a fucking blast. So we appreciate you guys tuning in every single day. Subscribe to the podcast, or rate it a 5-star, and leave a quick review. It's the only thing that matters for the fucking charts, unfortunately. We know it's a pain in the ass, but we appreciate it. And we appreciate you guys tuning in every single day. We will not miss. I don't care if a relative dies or what. I did a show. That's the reason why I'm saying this. Fucking dude, yesterday I was like, get your fucking goddamn dad on the phone. He's like, oh, he's at a funeral for his brother. I don't give a shit. My grandmother died at a show an hour later. Fuck you. Work is work, dude. People die in this world, and that happens all the time. Okay, I'm here, rain or goddamn shine, natural disaster, whatever it is, we will fucking be here. We're going to shout you guys out here today for all the Drinking Bro community and all the subgroups on Facebook. You guys are the real Drinking Bros. I am just the host of that show. I'm Ross Patterson. Good afternoon, everyone.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V22 Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.